The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
Now, as part of our series Reimagining Ireland, we're looking at the future of work and what's set to change about our jobs and our working lives in a post-pandemic Ireland. Our focus this morning, though, is on the four-day working week, a concept which has been grabbing attention and headlines across the world in recent years. Is it feasible? And is now the ideal time to trial such a dramatic change to our working lives? First off, David Cann, Managing Director of Target Publishing, on his company's implementation of this new working model.
We decided to make a four-day week going back to last March when the pandemic was thrown upon everybody worldwide, and we saw a decline in ad revenues, and as such we had to take a decision to make a cut in people's salary. And in doing so, what I decided to do to try and level it a bit was to actually include a four-day week for employees at that time. So in other words, 20% cut, but also we would cut the actual working week by 20%, which we would hopefully improve the mood of people, and in doing so would actually improve the productivity of both of those things we achieved. So as such, what we decided to do a number of months later was to actually give the employees 100% of pay, but still retain them on the four-day week. The end result of this four-day week is that everyone is very, very positive. The Friday becomes a new Thursday, and everyone works towards achieving all of their goals within the four-day week. So the upshot, again, is uplift in productivity, but also what we've noticed is an uplift in profitability as well. So, you know, there's no sign yet that that's the wrong decision. We'll continue to review it, but I plan to continue this for the foreseeable future as a four-day week with 100% pay. And I think that any company that would be listening today and perhaps reviewing what they would do, I'd certainly recommend taking a punt, because I think that from what we've seen, happier staff, more productivity and more profitability.
Now, to talk about this further, we're joined by Joe O'Connor, Director of Campaigning at Forsa, the union, and Chairperson of the 4-Day Week Ireland campaign. Joe, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, it was a bit, the sound quality wasn't great there, but basically he had to cut the working week as he was cutting wages, and then things improved so much that he gave them back 100% of salary but kept them on the 4-day week. It sounds too good to be true, Joe.
Well, James's story is one that we've seen very similar stories emerging right across the world, and also here in Ireland, of businesses who have either trialled or introduced the four-day working week. And they're reporting not only increased productivity, but also reduced employee burnout and stress, reduced sick leave, reduced absenteeism, and less employee turnover. And this is something that we think really can be better for business, but also better for workers and society in terms of increased well-being, better work-life balance, and more time to spend with families. And then there are other broader benefits for wider society. For example, we think this could be revolutionary in terms of gender equality. At the moment, women continue to do the majority of the caring responsibilities in the home. This would enable men to take on more of those responsibilities, and as a result, women to take on more leadership positions in work. And then finally, it could have absolutely enormous benefits in our challenge of trying to fight climate change. Most of the studies show a very close correlation between working time and carbon emissions. And a recent report in Sweden suggests that moving to a four-day week could reduce our carbon emissions by around 16%.
Now, I can understand if you work in a tech company and you're doing 5 days a week and you get one day off then, so you do two and two to make up your four-day week, that you work harder, you're more refreshed and all of that. If you're in an industry, though, that requires people doing the job, like healthcare, for example, people on the front line, be you a theatre porter or whether you're a nurse or a doctor, it means that if you have a day off, someone else has got to replace you, which means it's going to be more costly to deliver the service. So can you square that circle?
So I think the first thing to say that's important when we're talking about the four-day working week is that we're not talking about a rigid model, and we're not talking about a one-size-fits-all solution. we're talking about moving towards the four-day week as the new default, the new standard work arrangement across the economy, in the same way as currently the five-day, nine-to-five is the standard work arrangement, but it's certainly not the only work arrangement. And it means that we will need to continue to have different models for different employers, different sectors, and different workers. So this is not about, you know, in James's company, it works for their employees to have Fridays off. That won't work everywhere, and we will need to ensure that public services and private services can continue to operate for 5 and even 7 days in some cases. So this will look differently in different places, but we do believe that some version of a shorter working week is achievable right across the economy.
Now, you're a trade unionist, so you know that if one group of workers within the Forsa trade union get a four-day week, they'll all want it. And you'll be there fighting their corner to get a four-day week, even though it imposes huge expense and, difficulty on either public or private sector. You'll be there in the front line saying, X got it, so Y has to have it.
Well, this is not about us calling for the government to legislate for a four-day working week. What we're talking about here is a gradual, steady, managed transition towards a shorter working week for all workers across the economy, whether that's in the public or in the private sector. We're a union that operates, as you know, mostly in the public sector here in Ireland. However, if you look internationally, most of the very successful case studies that have been out there of the four-day week being introduced and working extremely well have been in the private sector. So I suppose from our perspective, yes, there's a reality that for certain sectors and for certain employments, it will be easier for them to be part of the early phase of this transition. But that was always the case with historical reductions in working time. If you take the argument and the debate around 5 day week, the 8 hour day, the weekend around 100 years ago, the same arguments that was an unaffordable luxury, that the economy couldn't cope, were being made back then. What we've seen since then is reductions in working time right up to the early to mid-1980s. And since then, average working time across most advanced Western democracies like our own has pretty much stalled. And that's during a period in recent decades where we've seen enormous productivity gains, incredible technological advancements.
Yeah.
And what we're seeing is, as we now enter into what many people are calling the fourth industrial revolution, increased automation, increased use of artificial intelligence, all the benefits that comes with that, we need to ensure that we share those benefits with ordinary workers. And we feel that, as it has been throughout history, working time is a really good place to start that conversation.
Yeah, but people do seem to want some sort of work in their lives. I mean, if you take your argument to its ludicrous conclusion, it would be eventually you do no work at all. You have machines doing all the work and you sit at home and somehow you're paid. So it's not necessarily that this graph keeps going down from the 6.5 day week or the 5.5 day week, which it was back in Victorian times, to the 5 day week, the 10 hour day down to the 8 hour day. Eventually, you know, the two day working week with the 4 hour day, all of that. That's not inexorable, I would suggest. And if it was, well, what will people do? What, they'd go to the gym all day?
Of course, and what we're talking about isn't even as radical as what John Maynard Keynes would have predicted almost a century ago when he predicted that we'd be working a 16-hour day by the end of the century. But what we are saying is that we need to look at very closely this model that was successfully pioneered originally in New Zealand and has since been implemented elsewhere, which is this idea of the 180-100 model, which is similar to what James spoke about, which is 100% of the productivity, 80% of the time, and 100% of the pay. And I think an awful lot of not just workers, but employers have had their eyes opened by the COVID-19 pandemic, where what we spoke about when we launched the 4 Day Week Ireland campaign back in 2019 was about moving away from a model of work that's measured based on the time you spend in the office, the time you spend at the desk, the time you spend on the clock, and moving towards a model of work which is measured on outputs and productivity. And I think that we've seen through this pandemic that there is a need to rethink some of the old established work patterns that are in place.
And I think that will happen, you know, with Yeah, and blended working and all of that kind of thing is on the way. The only problem is that there are many people, perhaps in the civil service, who don't have targets, who don't have sales targets, who don't have any kind of targets. And what will happen there? But that's maybe a debate for another day. We will leave it there. Joe, thank you very much for joining us. That's Joe O'Connor, Director of Campaigning at Forsa and Chairperson of the 4-Day Week Ireland campaign. Lots.